Hello, this is the Love Letter Squad. I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen, and we welcome you to another Love Letter Show. This is a show about just that, the variety of love letters people have in their hearts, and the stories, the personal life stories that make them want to write these letters. And every single letter is so different, and every single letter and story we've heard is such an inspiration and such a light as to how to live life in its most beautiful way. Yes, I was going to say, and part of that living life in its most beautiful way is expressing it, and if you can, putting it on paper and stamping it and mailing it to someone to make somebody else's life richer. And it always does.
Mm-hmm.
Every love letter changes a life.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we've seen.
The one who's writing it and the one who's getting
it. Yes, for you and the recipient. Exactly. So now we're going to go to Leah Cherian, who is our guest today. And Leah, go ahead, just talk about your life and how you were raised and what is prompting you to write the letter you're going to write today.
Okay, well, I came to the States in 1976. My parents emigrated here from India, so I was born in India, came here when I was four, and grew up in Chicago, and I have a lot of reasons for writing this letter. There's not really one particular reason, but just so much of my experiences, I feel like, has been shaped by the African-American community here that I grew up in, strangely enough. I'm very close with my family, and I'm very close with, and have a lot of strong ties with my own culture, but also, at the same time, I feel very much like the African-American community is just, it's my, you know, it's, I feel no difference between, you know, how I grew up and my culture and the culture of the Black community here.
So I'm gathering the way you look when you're saying this, the expression on your face, that is also your family.
Yeah.
So how did you get so fortunate in life to be able to absorb two cultures as both family in your heart?
I really think that love started with music. My father would, we always had music and the radio on in our house. And although they stressed academics very, very much, my father would play R&B, a lot of Black music. Mm-hmm. So I grew up listening to all of that type of music, and it was like a way out. It was just I love the music, and mm-hmm. so I think it started from there.
Sure.
And then eventually we just moved into neighborhoods that became more diverse, and I just felt an affinity with Black people just because I felt like I was one of them because mm-hmm. of my skin color, mm-hmm. and also to you know, people in the Midwest back in the 70s, they would say stuff like, oh, we had a couple of comments when we first moved into this all-white neighborhood that I remember a little boy coming up to the house and saying, my mom doesn't like Black people.
Oh, meaning, my goodness.
And so it was that sort of stuff, but also, yeah, just a lot of experiences.
Really? That's
like
awful.
That. Yeah.
And surprising, you say this is in the 70s.
70s and 80s. Yep. Well, in the Midwest, it's a little bit different than
I guess
on the West Coast. Yeah.
And you lived right in Chicago?
We live in the suburbs, maybe 20 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
When we first moved to this one particular neighborhood, it was an all-white neighborhood, and mm-hmm. we were the first Indians. And by the time we moved out to another neighborhood, it had become all Black.
That's so interesting how that happens, people's journey. So what did your mother do with this little boy who came to the door and said that?
We eventually became friends with the family, but it was just a... I had never seen race before. I had never sort of thought of myself as anything, just Indian first, and then to be called Black or whatever, darky or all these, like, you know, turban head, whatever it was. I think it made me just more identify with minorities, of course.
Well, so may I ask how you became friends with these people eventually?
We played with them. They had kids our age, and so we ended up playing with them, and the kids don't really, I think they learn a lot from their parents, and so he was just saying something that I think he had observed his parents, sort of their attitudes.
No, I understand that, so I was just curious how you end up being friends with that, how you got past that.
I just, I don't know. I
don't
think
remember.
We were just kids, and so that kind of stuff doesn't really...
Oh, I see. This was just said to you. This didn't go to your mother.
No. Yeah, this was just said to us kids.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So then you just start playing ball in the street or
playing,
things like
yeah.
that. And
kids
it goes away.
Be such a treat. Okay.
I know.
All right, so go ahead.
So
you were telling about how the neighborhood you moved in was all white, and then by the time you left, it was predominantly black.
It was predominantly black.
So your friendships were with the people you lived in your neighborhood with.
Exactly. So I feel like I grew up in two different worlds. Like, I had white friends, mm-hmm. but I also, I felt like I identified more with my black friends. And so it was interesting because, at the same time, I didn't have that many Indian friends.
There weren't that many Indian families in the area? Or?
Oh, well, we had a close family. We had friends within our family, but for whatever reason, I felt most comfortable mm-hmm. with, you know, non-Indians for some reason. But, so by the time we moved out, I had already become, like, so enamored with sort of the black culture, whether it's music, sports, in so many ways, like the readings, literature.
Yes, all the reasons of strength and beauty that are attractive.
Yeah.
Sure.
And there was just a fierceness and an independence with the black community that I thought was just so, it was just the strength I saw in them that I didn't, so when you're young, you always look for, to find a strength in some source.
That's right.
And so
you
want to
be where the healthy and the strong are, of course.
Right.
So did you learn lessons from that for yourself?
Yeah, just through reading and through, of course, footage of Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. And I had all these heroes that I grew up with, you know, in my mind.
So who were they, some of them?
Wow. My first book was, I read a book, the autobiography of Malcolm X,
mm-hmm.
and that changed me forever. And then just reading about Harriet Tubman, I read Martin Luther King, I read the writers. I'm coming up with a blank right now.
That's okay, but the
James
point
Baldwin.
Is, yes, you were in a world of fiercely heroic, expressive people who had something important to say.
Yes. And also in high school, I didn't have a positive experience because once again, we moved to an sort of like a very predominantly white neighborhood. And in my high school, I left in my freshman year. So I left all my friends I had grown up with.
Mm.
And then we moved and I was a sophomore and I had absolutely no friends.
That is so painful.
Yes. No one was friendly and everyone, it was just a very, it was not diverse at all. And even with the Indians that were in the high school, I didn't make any friends with them. They weren't really.
It's so hard to believe looking at you. You're such a beautiful, cute, friendly girl. Like, who would
I
wanna...
was very unpopular.
Oh,
and
well,
it was just within that loneliness, though, that's. I think you seek out something
sure.
that goes. That your life is miserable, but you want to find something that.
Strength and beauty,
like yes.
you're talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, did you end up making friends with anybody at your high school or.
Not really, no, with the librarian. I would just, instead of going to lunch on my lunch hours, I would actually work during my lunch hour at the library just because I didn't want to sit by myself.
Of course.
At the,
were your parents aware of this?
Oh, yeah, but we weren't close back then. We didn't talk about this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was just academics was stressed, nothing
I see.
Else. You go there, you get your grades, and that's all.
And that's what's going to serve you as an adult, so don't.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what happened after that then, after high school?
After high school, I just, of course, went to college, and then I went to the city for college, University of Illinois at Chicago, and I realized that the world was just, my little life was too small in the suburbs, and I transferred after a year at this really small Catholic college to go to the university at Chicago, and I just fell in love with the city. So everything to do with the city, I fell in love with. And after a couple of years there, after college, I was through with Chicago, and I moved out here to San Francisco to go to law school.
Oh.
Yes. And I just fell in love with San Francisco. So I've been here ever since.
So goodbye Chicago and
goodbye,
the pain it represented.
Yes.
Even though there were some strong points.
Yeah.
But you left with the strength that you got from this black community.
Oh, yeah, it's uh-huh. just, it's a constant source.
So where did you go to law school? You
at Golden Gate University uh-huh. here in San Francisco.
So are you through with this now? Are you through with law school?
Yeah, I've
school?
Been practicing for a long time, for 8 or 9 years
really?
Now.
Really? You look so young. You still look like a teenager.
Yeah.
You've got such a youthful look. Okay. So if this were a television moment, we wouldn't have to explain
right.
this. But okay. So, and your life is good.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad.
Yeah, thanks.
And so you've really found where is your soul home?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. This is a base for everything. I feel like, and I travel a lot, and I love to travel, but I feel I always come back home to San Francisco. It always, there's just something about this place.
Now, and your parents are still in Chicago?
They're in Chicago.
Do you see them? Do you go back and forth?
All the time.
Oh, good.
I'm extremely close with my family.
Okay. And so, what, may I just ask out of curiosity, what field of law do you...
Right now, I'm doing contract law, so it's corporate law. Mm-hmm. It's law by... is definitely not the passion in my life. It's sort of, it's a means to an end.
Yes.
So right now it's corporate.
So do you have your eye on what you would like to do in law in the future?
I would love to go into, I would love to write, be a full-time writer, and travel the world.
So in all fairness, I'm wondering, you could say that what your parents stressed has also served you well. I mean, you're successful in something that required academic excellence.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like they did their life lessons from them, of course,
yes,
contributed to my success.
So things are kind of melding and blending into just what they should be in you in the end.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
And I'm sure we'll continue to. Okay, so we're going to ask who gets the love letter today.
First, if I might, I just remind our listeners that this is Love Letters Live. We're here every week at this time, and please join us. You can also catch all of our past programs on our website, which is the Love Letter Squad, www.lovelettersquad.com.
Thank you. So who does get your love letter today?
Well, actually, I'm having a tough time having an address for that. I was wondering if I could have some help with that, because I feel like it's very general and very broad. It's not to one particular... so much. There's so many influences there.
Okay, so to whom is it going?
I would just put a title to my brothers and sisters.
Okay. Now I see you've got it written.
I have a rough draft.
Would you like to just read it to us?
I would love to.
Because, you know, this is wonderful that you come with a rough draft, because it gives us a chance to add to it.
Yes.
Or just not, whichever you prefer. So this is what we strive to when we start to compose them on the air anyway, so you go ahead.
Okay. Dear brothers and sisters, this is a simple love letter which simply cannot express my utter gratitude and my respect to you all. For the many years of joy, humor, insight, chills, and a list of immeasurables that have shaped my life because of you. This letter is more than 25 years overdue. A lot has happened in that quarter of a century. Growing up from child to teenager to adult, and all the highs and lows in between. During that whole time, you all have remained a constant source of light and inspiration. From the moment I picked up an autobiography by a man named Malcolm X at the high school library, I was never really the same. My way of thinking and how I viewed the world changed after I read that book, and so it began. I remember when Harold Washington became Chicago's first black mayor. I was so proud and wore my 1988 Mayor Washington t-shirt every chance I could, all the while listening to racist Chicagoans calling into radio stations expressing their hatred for Washington and fear of a black city. I remember the glorious day Nelson Mandela was freed from his jail cell in South Africa, crying tears of joy for him and tears of rage for those who put him there, the brutal system that was still in place in that country. I remember reading of Harriet Tubman, of Frederick Douglass, of the mind-numbing evil that was slavery, and wishing so badly I could have been there to fight alongside John Brown. I identified with the militants more than the peacemakers, as anyone with a shred of passion sometimes does in youth. I remember falling head over heels for the brothers in sports, the NBA, baseball, football, the Olympics. Lord have mercy, I never paid attention to sports before, but soon memorized the vital and marital stats of the guys I was crazy about. I remember the music of my childhood. My God, how I remember the radio, the record player always on at our house. My father, the ex-hippie Indian who emigrated to the U.S. in the 70s, didn't play Indian songs. No, me and my siblings grew up listening to the Commodores, Dionne Warwick, Smokey Robinson, the Gap Band, Donna Summer. Those songs, those voices, those lyrics will play over and over in my mind until the day I die. Funk, soul, R&B, jazz speak to my soul in a way no other music does. I remember the years of Michael Jackson. Where do I begin? I will never get over that one. Finally, for all of those throughout the years, for a moment, or those I call my friends, thank you for inspiring, for keeping it real, seeing through the bull, the double talk, the phony, the fake. You have taught me more than anything that I don't have to play the game, nor ever want to. Thank you for showing me that history and the past still matter. Community matters, loyalty and love still matter, that beauty comes in all sizes and colors and forms. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for letting me come as I am, for putting the smile on my face, the beat in my steps, and the strength to keep on keeping on. You are my people. All my love, Leah.
Well.
What would you change, Janet?
I would only change one thing. I would change. Excuse me, then I'm going to just finish sobbing here. I know where I would send that. I know just what I would do with that.
Please, I need help.
Yes, I would just change the first line somehow to say, I am writing this love letter to my brothers and sisters in the Black Chicago community where I grew up and got my strength. And then I would send it to the Chicago newspaper.
The Trib.
Oh.
Send
it. Tribune.
And send it and say, I need to reach my childhood friends. Would you please publish this?
That's a wonderful idea.
Because a love letter, in order to be a letter, it's got to be stamped and mailed to somebody. If it's not received, this is going to be a beautiful essay and piece of work. Whatever you, if you put it in your drawer for the rest of your life, it's a beautifully written piece of work. It's not a letter till you send it.
Right.
In my opinion, that's how Teresa and I say. Right. So where do you send it? Would you change that first opening?
I will.
Say, this is, you know, really to my childhood brothers and sisters.
I will.
Or the however you want to say that, you know, the Black community children who became my brothers and sisters and my family and my growing up years in Chicago, however you want to do that, so they know okay. It's for them. And then say, maybe at the end, if any of you remember me, I'd love to hear from you. Here's my email. Or call the paper. Do it. See how many you actually reach. Let them get this love letter.
I will do that exactly. I didn't even think about that. Mm-hmm. That's where it all started.
That's why you're here. Think about it. Okay, so, and the other thing is, you know, if for some reason the Chicago paper doesn't do this, or maybe even in addition, I know that often around here there are different community newspapers. You know, is there a, like in this town,
yes.
There's certainly different cultural groups have their own newspapers. Is there something in Chicago that's like a, you know, African-American,
like local.
To serve that population in Chicago, send it to them also. Is it not good form to send it to two places? I don't know how those things work.
I don't know how those things work either. Certainly the Chicago Tribune would get, or the Sun Times would get more exposure, but you also want to think about where these people, what paper do they usually read?
And where they're living, and, you know, word gets out. Okay, so, and then also, this can go on our blog mm-hmm. as soon as we're set up here, right? And so...
That was
see who you can see who you can find and let know personally. Thank you for doing this with us.
I feel so much better now that I have somebody to mail it to, though.
Yeah, of course you do.
Because it's very general. It's not just to one specific, but I feel like in Chicago is where it all began.
Well, it is general. Well, yes, it's general if you include, you know, everybody. But also you had personal friends.
Yes.
Yes. And by the way, even if some of these musicians have children... who are still, you know, I don't know what Smokey Robinson had, but I mean, you know, people have children, they have relatives, they have friends. Let it just go out.
Yeah.
So what would your best hope be? And we don't ever send a love letter for what we get in return because it's a gift. And of course, we don't ever get a gift for someone thinking we'll get one back. But having said that, we always hope we'll get some kind of response.
Yeah.
What would be your best... your best good dream for what you get as a response back from this?
Wow. I think it was more of an, I just wanted to acknowledge all those who made me, who just have inspired me in so many ways. Just even any kind of acknowledgement from the African American community would be wonderful.
So in other words, if one minister wrote back or one,
yes.
Or somebody said, don't you remember we used to sleep at each other's houses when we were growing up? Do you remember the names of your friends? You must.
I remember their first names. I don't remember.
And did you have sleepovers at each other's houses?
We were not allowed to sleep over. My parents were very, very strict.
Oh.
we were not allowed to do any of that stuff.
So what did you? Did you go to dances? Did you?
No, we didn't. I just
that was high school then.
It was high school. It was very a sort of the kind of culture that we grew up around. It wasn't really social, and we didn't get to do a lot of activities. So all of this stuff, I think, went on in my mind in so many ways, and it was just sort of a quiet kind of inspiration that I couldn't express to others.
Then if it went on in your mind, how all the more important to be able to share it in a love letter.
Yeah.
So it was the civil rights movement, really.
That started it. After reading Malcolm X, then I read about everyone who was involved in the civil rights movement and what it really did for the country. And also, it paved the way for every single person of color. And mm-hmm. I really wanted to stress, and I didn't write it here, how everyone has benefited from it. My community definitely has, but they also, too, the Indian community doesn't. There's no connection with the black community, I feel like. Or maybe it's true with all.
Well, cultural differences
people.
Are cultural differences, and people like, I think, in all fairness, sometimes people like to stay, I don't think it's sometimes a matter of excluding others, but you want to keep your own cultural
yes.
borders and integrity so you don't get dissipated in some way, becoming less, nobody wants to get watered down.
Right. Maybe I just wanted to put the word out that... here is an Indian, here's somebody from a different culture, but I feel just as home mm-hmm. with another community as I do with my own. So,
now, are you unusual in that, do you think?
I don't know.
From an Indian point of view.
Oh, absolutely, yeah absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I think it's brought such an enrichment to my life.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. In so many ways.
Now, do you have brothers and sisters?
I do. I have an older brother and a younger sister.
And what are their lives like?
My younger sister is married with children. Mm-hmm. My older brother has children of his own, too, and they're both still in Chicago and, more suburban type of life, but we're extremely close.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
And they understand all of this. They understand my sort of, my brother has always been teasing me about, joining Jesse Jackson while he ran and all that kind of stuff. I was very militant in my...
And they're good-natured about it, and they understand the intelligence that you saw in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We all grew up with that same sort of culture, with the music first, and then
of
with
course.
Everything, sort of. All this stuff was new. All this American sort of culture was new to us, but we embraced it. Mm-hmm.
Well, Leah, your love letter has many of the same elements of a love letter that you would send to one person. Should we just kind of go through those, Janet?
Sure.
One of the things that stood out for me was how specific you were.
Oh, beautiful, yes. I got so carried away with really what you wrote that I wasn't thinking in terms of like breaking it down like that. But we talk about a great love letter being a matter mm-hmm. of specifics. And "you're so special" doesn't mean anything. It just
right.
doesn't, but all the things you listed, that's what makes a love letter great. And what's the gift? That you noticed and that you remembered.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Great love letters also are very clear on what the goal is for writing the love letter. And I thought she did a fabulous job of that.
Yes.
Appreciation,
yes.
right, and honor for those things.
Yes. And it was pure love. It was pure honor. I mean, you didn't, that word you use is exactly right for your letter. There was nothing acrimonious in it at all. And, that would be easy to do, by the way, in a letter that talks about a culture or a time in history that was just so rotten in so many ways racially.
Yeah.
And you talked only about the positive and the strength and the beauty and the music and the intelligence and the rebelliousness that demanded freedom. And, that was all. You got a whole era into that. You
yeah.
got a whole piece of history into that. It was wonderful. I don't know, New Yorker?
I was thinking possibly. So if it doesn't make... Well, think about where people might read it. Not
well,
a lot of people
okay,
read
Chicago
the New Yorker.
Paper first, yes.
Chicago paper first.
Yes. Its scope is just something so like the New Yorker would do. Mm-hmm. emotional and historical and visual. You've got so much visual in there.
Yeah.
And unique. I've never read anything like it.
Yes, it was wonderful. And just the possibilities, the wonderful result of living cross-culturally, to be able to look at somebody else's group and say, oh, can I come in?
Right.
You know, you guys look great. And right. see all the positive.
And being accepted, too, yes. That played such a huge... I just felt with them, I felt more like myself around the Black community than even my own community, as it can be more judgmental in many ways. And sort of...
Well, it turns out everybody can be, but they weren't with you.
Yes.
And but that's you just said something else that's really nice, and I don't know if you actually said it in those words in there, that I felt more like me with you.
Right, I did.
But that's an important compliment.
Yes.
Because isn't that our goal? You know, we talk about another aspect of a love letter is to put your most authentic self on paper, which is why we encourage people to write lots of notes and memories and put things down and then read it and look at it and see if it is your most authentic self. If it is, good letter. If it isn't, it needs to be redone.
Right.
Because it's got to be your truth put to paper, because this is a big piece of history. Not only the country's, but your personal history.
Right.
And if ever you have children someday or grandchildren, they'll find this and they'll know something really important about old grandma, you know, or your nieces and nephews.
Right.
Now, something different about this love letter is we ordinarily encourage people to put it in their own handwriting. In this case, where it's going to be, we hope, published.
Oh, good point.
It'll need to be electronic.
Okay. Yes, it will. So you should still, on a beautiful piece of stationery, thank you for mentioning that, take a beautiful piece of stationery and write it out in your own handwriting and put it in a treasure box or someplace where your grandchildren or your nieces and nephews can find it someday. Because when they see your handwriting, it will be a whole other thrill. You ever find old letters?
Yes.
I
love writing letters, actually.
But do you find other people's old letters? Have you found letters?
Oh,
And then looked at handwriting and say, oh, handwriting of my grandma or my great-grandma, and it's different.
Yes, it is.
But it's them.
Yes.
Okay, so good that you mentioned that. Yes, electronic, and then for your treasure box, the handwritten, and in a beautiful envelope.
Mm-hmm. And then the last step, we have 7 steps to writing the perfect love letter, and the last step is...
Oh.
Deliver, de-letter.
Yes, the 4 D's. Well, this is a very 50s thing. We used to put deliver, de-letter, de-sooner, de-better on the envelope. So it was the letter D, and then liver, D, letter, D, soon.
So send it right away, I think, is what we're saying here.
The sooner, the better.
Right. Well, Leah, thank you so much for joining us today. This is another unique letter. They're all different, all unique, but nothing quite like this one before. Thank you for sharing that. And we do love to hear from our listeners. This is where email is so wonderful. Please email us. You can visit us at our website, www.lovelettersquad.com, and read the things that are there. Join our blog, listen to our podcasts, and let's have a conversation. Write to us.
You'll find us on the Internet. Right. And by the way, we don't say that email is not a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. We're just saying it's not the same as an actual love letter.
Right.
So both is good. And please remember that if you think for a minute that you have to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, you can see that writing a love letter is a special occasion.
And we encourage everyone to write those loving thoughts and put them in the mail while you still have the chance.
Yes.
So until next week, with love from Teresa.
And Jana, your love letter squad.
And thank you again to our guests.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.